In all these places I go, I just act out of my identity. So there's not this longing that I'm in a wrong place. I may be on the way to someplace else, but I can have peace in the journey, not in the destination. So it's so important that because we know who we are, that we can actually live this out even when we're not at our final destination in maybe the work that we think God will call us to do, but that we're working all along the way in the journey.
Welcome to the Lead Like Jesus podcast. This is Karen Conley, and I'm so excited that you have joined us today. We have with us one of our favorite guests of all time for the Lead Like Jesus podcast, and that is Phyllis Henry. She is the CEO and president of Lead Like Jesus. Phyllis, thank you so much for joining me today.
Karen, it's my pleasure to be with you. So grateful to be on the podcast.
I hope that our audience has been following along. In one of our previous podcasts, you and I had the opportunity to talk about one of the two most critical questions that leaders need to ask of themselves before they're able to lead others. And we talked about whose am I? But in this particular podcast, we're going to take it to that second question, and that is, who am I? Phyllis, you have the privilege of going all over this world, literally, to teach this in a leadership context. Why is this particular question so important and so powerful?
Well, Karen, this question is so important because it's about our identity. It sets up who we are, not only to the world, but to ourselves. And as we prepare to lead others like Jesus did, we have to be so clear about whose we are and who we are. I'm so glad we talked about whose am I. We know we belong to God, and we know that He is the primary authority and audience for our life. He's the one we trust the most. And now when we think about who am I, that question defines our life purpose and our identity. So that makes us think about, why did God put us here? And our life purpose answers that. Why am I here? What am I here to do? Scripture tells us, as you know, in Ephesians 2:10, that we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. It was designed for us long before we were born, so we're born with this plan and purpose. And we were created perfectly to fulfill it, but we have to know those things about ourselves. So we have to know what makes us the way we are.
Phyllis, I love the fact that you're addressing this particular question. I think everybody listening understands how relevant it is to them, but I just recently had an opportunity. I was teaching and I had a woman come up to me afterwards. She is an attorney. She said, I was the fourth of four children, kind of the black sheep of the family, but I was smart. And so I just worked and worked and worked. And I just tried to prove to them that I was worth it and that I was capable. And so she ended up first in her law school, and $140,000 worth of student loans later, she walked up to me and she said, I don't even like law.
Oh my.
I just did it because I wanted to prove to them that I could, but now I don't know what to do. There are plenty of people out there, unfortunately, that have just done what they think someone expected or what was going to make them, they thought, feel like they'd approved themselves. That really, what you said, it's to set up not just who we are to the world, but to ourselves.
Exactly. So critical, because if we don't know this, if we don't know who we are within ourselves, that we don't have that understanding for ourselves, we will act out of what we don't understand, which is what she did in the example of your friend. When you think about your life purpose, it's so good to understand what your gifts are, your talents are, and all of us were created with those talents and abilities, and we will learn skills. And God put us together to complete the plan that He already has in place. But that's the key. When we start to think about purpose, we have to understand our identity first. So we say, who am I? We have to go back and look at who we are, who Jesus said we are. It's important if we've established that we belong to God. And so now when we come to the question of who am I, then we have to look at what He says we are. Let's think about what He says we are. Our core identity comes from the work Jesus did on our behalf. My core identity is not about my talents. It's not about all of the things that God has put in me, the abilities, the skills that I've developed over my lifetime. My core identity comes from the work Jesus did. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Just step back and think for a minute. The righteousness of God. I'm right with God because of what Jesus did. And then Scripture is full of descriptors about your identity. Scripture says we're the dearly loved. It says we're forgiven. We're chosen. I love that word, that I could be chosen. There's so many people who don't feel chosen. Yet, God says we were chosen by him. We're part of a royal priesthood. We're the apple of God's eye. We're an heir with Jesus. When you think about what Jesus said about us, I didn't say this, Jesus said it, that we're the light of the world. So when we know that that's who we are, we behave out of who we are. That identity, that purpose in our life, our whole life purpose, we know what Scripture says as followers of Jesus, that we're to glorify God. So it doesn't matter if we're at home, if we're in our business, if we're in our church, in our community, our purpose, wherever we step foot, is to glorify God and out of the identity of who he says we are. So he says all of these things about us. He even says we were no longer servants, we are now friends. As his friend, how do we respond? If we're friends with someone, we act out of their heart. We want to be sure that we are taking care of the things that are important to them because we love them. And obedience comes because we love God. So our identity is all tied up into what Jesus did on our behalf. If we can believe who God says we are, we will behave differently in our world.
That is so absolutely foundational for someone to understand, because apart from that, we end up spending so much of our time and energy searching for something that's going to fill that void and give us that peace that comes from understanding who he already has made us to be.
Yes, I think it's so important, especially as we look at our world today. Followers of Jesus, people who want to lead like Jesus, understand so intimately their identity in Jesus, that what God said about us is true, that we receive that identity. When we think about how we're going to behave in our workplace, we have to be the most excellent employees. We are the people who are on time. We are the people who come prepared to meetings. All the things we do in our church, we come to minister and to serve and to love, because we're not coming there to get love, we're coming there to give in all the places we go. We're coming with a different attitude because we know whose we are and who we are. And if we would do that as followers of Jesus, we elevate the rooms that we walk in. There's not a place where we walk in that we don't change the environment, because we understand who we are and we carry his presence with us and in us into all the places we go. But we have to believe that, Karen. It's so critical. We come to understand who God says we are and that we believe that with all of our hearts.
I love that image. I hope that it will stick with everyone. You said that we need to elevate the rooms that we walk in. And we were talking in one of our previous podcasts, you referenced, yes, this is an organization that reaches out to faith-based organizations, but there are also literally millions of faith-led organizations. And so as a believer in that organization, no matter what your role or level of leadership is, every one of us, because our identity is in him, have the opportunity to do that. Every single one of us can elevate the rooms that we walk into.
Absolutely. Sometimes people will say to me, well, I work in a secular environment. And my first thought is, but it can't be secular if you're in it. If you're in it, then it has become holy ground. It is now a sacred place because you carry the presence of God. If I'm walking in a door, then I walk in the door and I carry in the presence of God. So that does elevate the room. It changes the environment. So when we come into conversations that are conversations that would not be pleasing or not honoring to other people, if those kind of things are happening around us, then our walking into the room should change the environment, and that we could say something or do something that helps distract in a kind way what's being said and what's being done. It's so important that we get this. This is who we are. And when we are this in the workplace, in our homes, and I don't want to forget homes, Karen. Sometimes we think about leadership only in the environments outside our homes, and there's not a place where we should be leading like Jesus any more than in our homes, where parents are modeling, they understand the answer to the question of whose am I and who am I, so that their children will also understand those questions, and they will gain their purpose, identity, their primary authority and audience for their life because they've seen their parents model that.
And as you know, Phyllis, with a 18-year-old and a 16-year-old, Chris and I are privileged to raise. I am more and more aware every day of the fact that in our culture, our home is really one of the very, very few places that our children will see that modeled, that the culture of our schools and just all of the places that my children go, they're not seeing other couples and families and organizations that really model that. And so to think that they are just going to catch it somewhere else or they're 2 hours a week at church really is a naive approach. So I couldn't agree with you more. The need for that and leading like Jesus in your home. And it's not easy. I fail frequently, and I'm grateful for God's grace in it, but it is certainly critical to the next generation for sure.
And can you imagine if all people listening to this podcast, even, that people who are followers of Jesus would come to understand the answer to this question, that my purpose and identity is because of what Jesus has done, and I am going to believe and live out everything that God says about me, that I'm going to live out, I'm going to live loved, I'm going to live forgiven, I'm going to live chosen, I'm going to live as the apple of God's eye, and I'm going to be the light in the world as Jesus called me to be. Just saying those words, it's unbelievable that God could take somebody like me and say, that's who you are. So it's like we do for our children. When you say, you can do it, when we taught our kids how to ride a bike or to drive a car, you can do this. This is who you are. This is, you can do this. And you have to help them know that this is who they are. They already have the ability. They already have what they need. And what is so wonderful about the Lord is that not only does He call us out to say, this is who you are, He gives us the ability to be that. So law restricts, throughout the Old Testament, law restricts, but grace enabled people to become. I mean, the law said, do not murder. Grace raised the bar and said, don't even call people names. Well, I haven't had any trouble not murdering anybody, but calling people names, that's been a little harder. So grace raised the bar, but it also enabled us to become the kind of people that God called us to be.
In the Lead Like Jesus Revisited, you addressed this topic of who am I. I thought it was so important because even as believers, there is this kind of first layer of understanding that you can't put your identity anywhere else and never be disappointed. Jesus is the only place you can put your identity and never be disappointed. He will never change how He feels about you. And what you talked about, if we would live chosen and forgiven, man, that's just such a different way than most of us think. We kind of get up and it's half empty and drudgery and what do I have to do today? And we forget what He has given us in our identity. But then you took it kind of to that next practical step, which I feel like as I'm working with some millennials right now, that sometimes they have a hard time, and not just millennials, really any age, but finding people that they just don't really know what they're supposed to do. And they know Jesus loves them, but they just kind of are out there floundering, trying to figure out, what did God make me to do? What would you say to that leader out there, or that person, young man or woman, who's trying to figure out what that next step looks like?
You know, my first thought, Karen, was lean in closer in that relationship with the Father. This is so critical, and I wish that there was a five-step process. But the truth is, for us, is that this is about coming so close to the one who created you that knows all these things about you, how you were put together, that you could know him so well that you would begin to know yourself better. Because he's the one that has the plan, and he's the one that knows how you were put together to do what you are called to do. And it's in the process of having people around you that also know who they are, who have this identity. Chris had a wonderful mentor. That man knew who he was, and he knew whose he was. And because of that, he helped Chris understand those things too. We can be that for the younger people in our life. We can be that for older people in our lives, because sometimes people, it takes a long time for them to understand what their life was about. And so I think you find people in your life. First of all, you reach out to the Father. You spend time with the Father. And then you go to people that you sense they understand. And when you see people that are living a life, you know they're waking up in the morning. They're not praying, oh God, I have another day at work today. I'm praying, God, that this person will get fired because I just can't work with them. What if you prayed, oh God, thank you for the opportunity I have today, for your identity that lives in me, that I can be a witness to this person that is being so difficult. But I thank you for the attitude that you've given me today, and I thank you that you're going before me. And all of this comes out of this attitude of knowing whose I am and who I am at the beginning of the day. So find someone that lives like that, someone that would help them understand more about them. And you know, sometimes those people will see something in that young person that they've never seen themselves. I remember the first time someone said to me, you are a great speaker. You really touched my heart. I thought, well, I didn't know that. I didn't know I could do that. So if we can speak into people's lives to call out their talents, to call out their abilities, that will help them focus in on the direction that they can go. So I think as a leader, be so careful that you model knowing whose you are and who you are, that you live in this place of being chosen in the light of the world. And then for this younger person or someone who's floundering, that you're pointing out, that you're seeing the good things in them, that you're not letting things pass by that they do well that you don't recognize. It's so important that we develop people by noticing those things that they are doing well, so you can call it out to them so that they can see perhaps a path where God has them now is only a path to where God would have them go.
Even in that, that gives the paradigm shift when you think about, okay, God has a purpose for me in every situation that I walk in, and that might be to encourage that person who's discouraged, or to notice the things that someone is doing well, and to speak life into someone. And you have no idea, like that first time that someone told you that you were a good speaker, they had no idea how God would use that to plant a seed for you now to be able to impact people all over this world.
Yes, I think it's critical. Words have life. So we have to speak those words of life to people, and that comes in encouragement. Sometimes it comes in reinforcement. Sometimes it helps build confidence. But those words from a leader in those critical places are really huge. The other thing I was thinking too, Karen, sometimes we think, you know, we've got to find the right place, and we forget about the journey. And the journey to whatever God has for us sometimes is just as you said, it's along the way. And so when we begin to see who we are and we understand who I am, I receive that in such a way that along the path, I am open, I am willing to listen, I am a lover of people, I'm a server of people. And so in all these places I go, I just act out of my identity. So there's not this longing that I'm in a wrong place. I may be on the way to someplace else, but I can have peace in the journey, not in the destination. So it's so important that because we know who we are, that we can actually live this out even when we're not at our final destination in maybe the work that we think God will call us to do, but that we're working all along the way in the journey.
That is such a great point for us to realize. I'm writing notes to have peace in the journey, not just at the destination. And I think as believers, we were talking just this past week that if you only are joyful when everything is going right, what small percent of your life will you have the joy that God has put within us? So that journey is absolutely critical.
I agree.
Phyllis, as we have just a couple minutes left, as I was looking at the Lead Like Jesus Revisited, you talked about gifts and talents and what people are passionate about. How would you guide someone that really wants to understand more about who God has created them specifically to be, their unique role that they might have?
Well, there's so many tools out there. In fact, at Lead Like Jesus, we have a biblical DISC assessment that we use often with teams and with individuals. They can get an assessment that talks about their personalities. It talks about a lot of the things of how God has made them. It also ties all of that understanding to biblical characters, so you can look at who you might have been like in Scripture and how God used them. So I think that that's a wonderful tool that we have available at Lead Like Jesus. But I also believe that when you're looking at understanding how you're made, is you go to the people who spend time with you and you ask questions about, what do you see as my talents? What do you see in me that perhaps I haven't seen? So I would just do an interview with the people that are closest to me and just ask questions about what they see in me. What are my gifts? What are my strengths? What are my talents and abilities that they've noticed in me? And just begin to get a feel for how God has put you together. What do you love doing so much that you lose time when you're doing it? And just begin to ask yourself those kind of questions and do that biblical DISC assessment and see if you can understand a little bit more about how God has created in you and your personality. And I often say this is a look at human behavior. And so you have to understand that, you know, sometimes people say, I'm an extrovert or I'm an introvert. But here's the thing, we are in Christ. And so in all of those things, this wraps this up to say, no, when you understand this is how God has made you, but here we have this new understanding of this divine power that we've been given that lives in us, we can have everything under that control and submit to that.
Well, Phyllis, as people take that first step in understanding the identity they've already been given, to embrace that, and then to look at their specific skills and talents and gifts, I'm excited. I hope that many people will go and take advantage of the resources that you have at Lead Like Jesus. I'll say, as a parent, that was something that we did when our children were younger. It was so helpful. We actually would pray with them and I'd talk to them about their strengths, because as you're, not only do young adults, but children and teens in particular, they're trying to figure out who they are and that they have value. And so to be able to go back to those biblical traits and say, this is what God has fashioned in you specifically, became something that they hung on to, that they knew, this is something that I'm good at when I'm struggling and I see my friends are good at things that I'm not. So it really is something throughout our entire life. It is so helpful to understand and know how God has wired us and that He has a specific purpose for us.
Love that.
Phyllis, thank you so much for your time and for joining me today. If people want to get any more information on Lead Like Jesus, any of the resources that we have mentioned, and also the newest release of the Lead Like Jesus Revisited, please go to leadlikejesus.com and we'll see you next time.